a potential scandal in China.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. China is blocking access to the New York Times website this morning. That's because the Times is featuring an expose on Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao, who is known for his humble roots. The story uses corporate and regulatory records to show that Wen's family has accumulated some $2.7 billion in wealth. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz has the latest now from Shanghai.
The story lasted less than 3 hours on the New York Times English website in China before authorities not only blocked that site, but then blocked the Times Chinese language site, too. Beijing-based law professor Stan Abrams says even if the information wasn't censored in China, he's not sure the Chinese public would have much of a reaction.
What do we learn? We've learned that one of the highest leaders in China, that person's family has used that position to get wealthy.
Abrams says most Chinese, cynical about their rulers, already know that. But the difference here is that Times reporter David Barboza meticulously uncovered factual evidence to prove it. And for the Times, the price for that is an error message whenever someone inside China's Great Firewall wants to visit its site. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Well, here in this country, the election is now just 11 days away. And out on the stump, the candidates are talking about jobs, taxes, entitlements, you name it. But one thing we haven't heard much about is climate change. So joining us now from Washington to fill in the gaps is our sustainability correspondent, Scott Tong. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Scott, you know, climate change is not an issue that we have heard a lot about in this campaign. What do we know about where these candidates stand on this issue?
Well, you may remember Mitt Romney got the big laugh line at the convention when he said Obama promised to slow the rise of the oceans.
Right.
His campaign literature actually notes that the world is warming and that humans are contributing. Policy-wise, Governor Romney has gone after subsidies for green energy, solar and wind, but no mention of subsidies for fossil fuels. For President Obama, his literature says climate is an urgent threat and he pushes green energy and green jobs. But in the debates, you know, the issue went dormant. And a lot of people say, you know, it's because these swing voters in a few states that they're really going after, it's a small issue for them.
Well, you know, I interviewed Tom Vilsack, President Obama's agriculture secretary, during the drought in the Midwest, and I asked him if he thought that that, along with some other strange weather patterns, were a result of climate change. And here's what he said.
Well, I'm not an expert on climate change, and so it probably wouldn't be appropriate for me to respond specifically to that question.
So what do you make of that coming from a Democratic administration?
Well, there's a sense in climate circles, at least in this town, that the Obama administration started actively not using the word climate change after the cap and trade legislation went down in 2009, that there was an active decision to start instead using terminology like green jobs and clean energy. On the Republican side, a couple key GOP members of Congress lost their seats in the midterms, Republicans who acknowledge climate change and said it is happening. So on that side, there's kind of a sense that, like raising taxes, talking about climate change is a non-starter.
So is it likely that anything is going to happen on this issue in the next 4 years, either way?
Well, if you have a second Obama term, his EPA is assumed to be working on new regulations on power plants and big emissions implications with power plants, especially coal. If there's a Romney presidency or if the Republicans take over the Senate, then there's talk of slowing down that process or stopping it altogether. Of course, warming is global. And if you're a pessimist, the World Bank is studying a gloomy future of a 4 degrees Celsius rise. Now, up until recently, most people were saying we have to stay under 2 degrees to avoid the most catastrophic implications of climate change. And, you know, some people are talking about oceans rising 10 feet or more, a lot of the world being uninhabitable, drought frequency doubling. You know, not to put a downer on your morning, Jeremy, but that's what they're talking about.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Marketplace sustainability correspondent Scott Tong in Washington for us. Thanks a lot.
All right. You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, down more than 1% in Hong Kong, about 0.5% right now in London. Disappointing earnings after the closing bell on Wall Street from Apple, which reported a 27% increase in revenue, but didn't have any surprises, those surprises that investors have gotten used to when it comes to Apple. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 26 points to close at 13,103.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Shares in the company that makes those Monster energy drinks are down about 15% for the week. That's because on Monday, the Food and Drug Administration said it was looking into whether the drinks were to blame for 5 deaths. Now the whole energy drink industry is bracing for potential new regulation, as David Weinberg reports.
Tom Perko is a consultant to the beverage industry. He says energy drink companies are in the midst of a media storm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody's nervous.
But Perko says the storm will be over soon.
The incidence of death from people drinking energy drinks is so minuscule as to be almost negligible. So we're looking at something that is kind of an emotional matter, but it's a very important matter for the industry.
The industry is concerned that the FDA could regulate the amount of caffeine in an energy drink. Soft drinks are allowed no more than 72 milligrams per serving.
There's no reason that the energy drink industry shouldn't be regulated in a similar way.
Michael Jacobson is executive director of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. He says the FDA could regulate the energy drink industry if it chose to. Perko of Bevmark worries that if the FDA acts aggressively...
Do they start regulating the coffee that you buy at Starbucks?
Jacobson doubts that. Current regulation only covers caffeine added to drinks. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
And finally, Denny's restaurant is known for some of the funny names of dishes on its menu, like Moons Over Miami or Pancake Puppies. Well, now the company is getting in on the excitement over the new movie The Hobbit, and it's going to be offering dishes like Gandalf's Gobble Melt and Frodo's Pot Roast Skillet. I'm wondering, did they forget about Moons Over Mordor? In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.